Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. This is Lilac Boots, and welcome back to the Scroll. I know it's been a while, very long while, but you know, life decided to life with me, and I just, you know, didn't have time or the energy to keep going. But since it's award season, we thought that it was just best to, you know, get our shit together and sort of, you know, get back on our shit. So I have also my fabulous co-host, Frank. What's up, Frank?
Hey, Boots.
How you doing, Frank?
I'm good. It's good to be back.
Great. All right. So, just to let you guys know, majority of the episode is going to be about the VGA nominees, but we're mostly just going to give our opinion on who we think either should or is going to win, and that's going to be the majority of it. But first, we thought we should just get into some general news. So, first, if you ever played the game The Escapist, their editor-in-chief was fired, I think, on the 6th or the 7th. It was either the 6th or the 7th, but basically, he announced on Twitter that he was fired for, quote, not achieving goals reportedly set by the Gamers Group, which acquired The Escapist last year. Quote, I was let go for not achieving goals that were never properly set for us and a lack of understanding of our audience and the team that built that audience, he wrote. I've watched many colleagues let go for the same reasons, and today was my day. So, let's see. He also shared on Discord saying that their entire video team resigned in response. That also includes Ben Yahtzee Croshaw, who created the video review series Zero Punctuation. Frank, I know you said you had watched some of their videos before. I've never actually watched them.
Yeah, I used to watch all their videos. They were good.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so they also resigned. Well, Croshaw himself said he formally resigned from The Escapist and Gamers. He says he doesn't have the rights to Zero Punctuation, but whatever happens, you'll be hearing from him again soon in a new place. Contributors such as Amy Campbell, Parks Harmon, Darren Mooney, Matt Lawlin, and Design Delves JM8 have also left the site in response to Calandra's termination. So after that, like the next day, he gave a little bit more detail about his termination. He said, we were given unattainable goals in a very short amount of time after being sold to gamers by Enthusiast Gaming. In addition to being editor-in-chief of The Escapist, I was a YouTube strategist for the last 6 months, tasked with helping build an entire video department from scratch that was asked to grow both in viewership and get profitable, but with no plan from upper management to actually do so. He added, the entire Escapist team put their heart into every piece of work we put out, and the talent brought in was unmatched. That kind of talent isn't cheap, and my mission with The Escapist was to not be driven primarily by views, but by direct funding through premium membership and live streams. Quote, that was working, and we grew year over year for all 4 years I ran The Escapist. Unfortunately, while ultimately more sustainable in the long run and not being reliant on shifting ad revenue from quarter to quarter, that kind of growth wasn't fast enough for gamers in the short term despite our model clearly growing year after year. So, yeah.
That's bullshit.
Yeah, it's really unfortunate that he and his team decided to leave, you know, because of ad revenue.
They did not decide to leave. Well, he didn't decide to leave.
Yeah, he didn't decide. This team definitely decided to leave. But
right. But I respect the team for leaving with him, though. I think that's pretty cool.
Yes, and we also have some of his tweets. So he said on Twitter, I was fired from The Escapist today. I have declined my severance pay and will not be signing an NDA. I'm incredibly proud of everything my team and I achieved over the last 4 years and the community we built together. Figuring out next steps now and moving forward. And he said, oh yeah, I was locked out of my email while I was being fired, lol. So if you want to get in touch, stay in touch. My email is nickjcal242@gmail.com. yeah, it's really unfortunate that these companies buy out, you know, these indie people and they just decide to, hey, you know what? You're not making enough money. Do something.
Yep.
And it just really sucks. And, you know, I feel for him and also the rest of the Escapist team. The interesting part about that, though, is I think the guy that I mentioned that ran Zero Punctuation, I think he voiced, like, the main character in that game. So since he quit, they can't use, they're going to have to get somebody else to voice it, or they can't use his voice. Because I don't think he signed the NDA either, actually.
Good.
So, yeah, they're going to have to figure that out or, you know, apologize to them and give him his job back or whatever the case. Or work something out, because that's just, you know, that's just really unfortunate. So, but next bit of news I wanted to share was about the New York Game Awards. So, if you don't know, not only is there the major one that we're about to go over, but also there's a specific New York Game Awards. I did want to go to, I've been trying to go to that one since, I want to say 2019, but I keep, you know, things keep getting in the way, blah, 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 life, blah, blah, blah. And I've been trying to go, but I just wanted to point out that this year they're honoring the Naughty Dog co-president, Neil Druckmann. He's going to receive the Andrew Yun Legend Award. So basically, the award acknowledges those who have shaped the games industry, with past winners including Phil Spencer, Tim Schafer, Hideo Kojima, Jerry Lawson, Reggie Fils-Aime, Jade Raymond, Todd Howard, and Richard Garriott. Druckmann's story is an inspirational one of self-determination, said Harold Goldberg. He's the New York Video Game Critics Circle president and founder. I've spoken to him before. He's very nice. His skill for creating titles that consistently redefine cinematic gameplay and human-centric storytelling not only deserves celebrating, but his efforts to create characters that represent diverse backgrounds and perspectives have enriched content in AAA games. So, Druckmann joined Naughty Dog in 2004 as a programming intern before rising through the ranks to become a game designer and co-writer on the Uncharted series, later becoming creative director for The Last of Us games. He was named co-president of Naughty Dog in 2020 and head of creative earlier this year following the departure of Evan Wells. So he's clearly well-deserved. I'm glad they're honoring him. Naughty Dog has come a long way since, you know, the Crash Bandicoot days. And, you know, he deserves all the awards. So the 13th annual New York Game Awards will be held on January 23rd. 2024 at the SV Theater.
I wish you would make a new game and stop trying to milk The Last of Us to death.
I mean, I don't think they're really milking it. I mean, what do you mean milking it? Like, because of this TV show?
No, they're re-releasing, remastering Last of Us 2. It just came out like 2 years ago.
Oh, well.
It's not long ago. Like, it's not that long. Like, come on.
Yeah, I mean, well, a remaster is different from, you know, doing like a spinoff or something.
Yeah, I'd rather you do a spinoff. Like, do a new game. Tell a new story. Stop giving me the same story over and over again.
Yeah,
tell
a new story. But a spinoff is the same story. It's just different people. It's probably in the same universe, but it's still going to be the same.
Yeah, but it's a different story because it's the different people you're following. It's not the same. It's not like telling the exact same story again from the same perspective.
That's true. I just thought you meant a different game, like, entirely, like a new IP.
You can do that. You can also do that. But if you want to stick on this Last of Us train, I'm not mad. But, like, please give me a new story in this universe.
Yeah. No, that's understandable. Okay, so that's it for the bit of news that we wanted to share. We also wanted to do 2 video game reviews. I don't know, Frank, if you want to go first, or I'll go first. It's up to you.
You can do it.
Okay. So, yesterday, I decided, well, actually, as I was going through recent news for this week, I had found out about Immortals of Avium. I remember when this was showcased, funny enough, last year at the Video Game Awards. And I didn't really think much of it. It seemed like the typical fantasy action type of thing, you know, and it was a whole year ago, so I wasn't really thinking about it until I saw in the news that there was a free demo out. So I was like, okay, cool, let me just try it, see what I think of it, blah, blah, blah. So a couple of things. So once I downloaded it and once I started playing it, I did like the visuals. I thought they were really cool. I like that the main character's best friend was a black woman, which, you know, obviously we don't get enough of that in video games. His best friend is black. And basically, it's sort of like a, how can I explain it? So the plot is sort of like a post-apocalyptic, well, not even post-apocalyptic, more like, I want to say pre-apocalyptic, because they're like in the middle of a war right now. And basically, the main character and his friend, they're like basically from like the gutter. Like they're from the ghetto, and the only way you can basically get by is by stealing, or you know, scratching for food and things like that. They also have a couple of friends with them that also live with them. And the house that they live in is actually owned by the black by his best friend, the black girl. And I think, I forgot how, it says in the game how she got the house, but the house is in her name. So that's the reason why they, you know, they're able to live. They even have a home in the first place. So what happens is, the plot is that she's about to join the army, because I think once you turn 16, that's when you're old enough to enlist or whatever. And she decides that she was going to do it. And she only told him, she didn't tell the rest of their family or whatever, the little misfit family. And and it's also her birthday. One of their friends went to get her a gift. It was like a snow globe. But the thing is, he came in and he was like basically mortally wounded, I guess, from trying to get that gift. I'm assuming he got it from the rich side of town or whatever the case. He just got, you know, he almost got clapped basically. And what happens is they go to this rich person's area. They try to steal what's called life magic, and basically try to go back to heal him. The only problem is that on their way back is when they get attacked. Not only just them two, but also their city gets attacked by the other, whoever is, I forgot their names, whoever it is on the other side of the war. And they blew their whole house up. Like, it's gone. Whoever was in there, there's no way they're alive. There's just no way. His best friend, she tried to defend him because she picked up a soldier's... So in the game, there's like a magic sleeve, I guess? I don't know how to explain it. It's like a wrist sleeve or whatever. And she picked it up and tried to defend him from the soldier that was attacking him. But she fucked up and she fell. So there's no way that she's alive. If she's alive, then that's crazy. So he's basically, the main character is basically the only one that's left. And that's basically like the whole beginning of the game. He ends up enlisting because he has nothing else to do. His house is blown up. His friends are gone. There's nothing really for him to do. But somehow when his friend died, his like, I guess his innate power like activated. And then I guess that's when the general saw and just thought, oh, well, it's better use if he's with us as opposed to just me killing him. So that's like the general first like 5 minutes of the game. So I liked the magic part. I liked it sort of plays like a first person shooter kind of. Which interestingly enough, when I first started the game, I was using a mouse and keyboard. And I thought, okay, maybe I should just switch to my controller because it seems like a first person shooter sort of. And when I switched to my controller on Steam, it says this game does not have controller support.
Hey, yo.
But I was able to use my controller, though. So that's why it was like, it was so weird. Because I'm thinking, because as soon as I saw that, I'm like, okay, this is not going to work. But I started pressing buttons and it was working just fine. So I don't know what Steam's talking about or whatever the case, but it worked for me. And for those that don't know, so I have a Windows PC, and I was using an Xbox controller, and it worked just fine for me. So I don't know what Steam was on, but definitely worked for me. I love the opening sequence of the game, which I just explained. And oh, interestingly enough, I don't know who the actors are, but they look, what the main character, he looks kind of sort of familiar. Maybe he just has one of those faces. But somebody in the game who's definitely familiar and who the general is that I mentioned is Gina Torres.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So, she's the general that basically finds you and like decides to recruit you or whatever into the game. And they actually let you play a lot more than that because it's a demo. I thought the game was honestly going to end maybe like 2 minutes after that, but no, it gets way like deeper into the game. So I don't know. I remember demos only let you do like certain things, but, from back in the day, but this demo, they kind of let you go a lot past, you know, more than what you're, more than you getting like the basic function of the game and the plot. Like it goes way past that. I just stopped playing it because I got to a certain part where I had to jump over something and I kept falling and I got frustrated and I was just like, yeah, okay, that's enough. Like, I got the point. The last thing I just wanted to point out about this game that I found interesting was, since I kind of sort of liked it, it wasn't like a huge fave, but it is something that I would play. But I wanted to see what the community thought of the game. So I went to the community hub in Steam. Someone put like big caps, do not play this game, delete it off of your computer because they use Denuvo. I don't know how to pronounce it, but basically it's an anti-cheat software. I've actually heard of it before and with other games, because I know Naughty, but I torrent a lot of games because I'm poor and I need to know what the games look like or act like before I decide it. Nobody makes demos anymore, so what am I supposed to do? So, right.
Plus, who cares? It's a capitalist machine anyway.
So the issue with Denuvo, I'm just going to say it that way. The issue with Denuvo is that, it's not the fact that it's anti-cheat or anti-crack software. The issue that I've been seeing online is that that program, because it does that, what it does is it screws with your graphics. So what happens is whatever like frames per second that you're supposed to have, if you have a game that has Denuvo in it, it'll like limit whatever frames like per second that you're supposed to have. Like if you're supposed to have like 70 frames per second and you have Denuvo in a game, you might get like maybe 45 frames per second. Like it screws that up. Like it goes from something simple to something like really, really, really screwed up. I think I think somebody else pointed out something else that what happens with it. It also has, it's been criticized for having like high CPU usage and excessive writing operations on like, you know, your storage and stuff. And also, a big thing that I've heard also was that it can cause like significant lifespan on like your solid state drives. So it's not just, you know, oh, my graphics aren't that great. Like apparently that program is really screwing up some people's like systems. So, the company Denuvo, they categorically deny that their program does any of that, but there's people that have made videos saying this is what's happening if you have this program in your game, like this is what's happening. So I don't know, they've released certain patches since this became an issue, because Denuvo, when all these issues I'm mentioning were a big thing in like 2018, you know, that was 5 years ago. So they they've released patches since then, so maybe it's not happening now, but that's not a good thing, you know, what that anti-cheat software does. But it is in Immortals of Avium, but I didn't have any issues playing Immortals of Avium. I didn't have slower graphics or anything like that. I didn't see any of that in it. I wasn't trying to cheat or crack the game, so also you have to think about that. And yeah, I really didn't have an issue, but so I guess I could give it, Immortals of Avium, I guess I could give maybe a 4 out of 5. It's not perfect, but it's pretty good. I like it. I can't really complain. I like the plot, and I also like the magic, the different types of magic powers in the game. That's basically it. That's like all I have to say about it, but it's pretty good if you want to try it. I'm just not paying $70 for it. You know, it's not the top of my list of games that I want to play right now, But it was fun. So that's important. So that's my review.
If you had to give it a number out of 5, what would you give it?
Oh, I said 4. I'll give it a 4 out of 5.
4 out of 5.
Yeah.
All right. That's good.
Yeah.
I ended up beating Spider-Man 2 handedly already. I have the most completeness of the game. I have beaten it to the Platinum Trophy standards, and I really enjoyed the game. If I had to rate it, I would absolutely give Spider-Man 2 ratings. And from a Spider-Man fan standpoint, 5 out of 5, no notes, really good, really, really good game, and very well done with the story and stuff. From a video game standpoint, I'm going to give it, and everybody's like, oh my god, 3.5 out of 5, because they have traversal that they added. Like, a lot of the improvements they made are really, really good, but there's some things that leave it to be desired. And it's not like the game itself is bad. The gameplay is phenomenal. Me personally, you got a new game, and the spiders still do the same tricks that they did last game when you're in the air doing flips and stuff around the city. So that's like, why couldn't you give me some new animations for that? And they implemented so many new combat upgrades that are really good and really fun mechanics, but you don't have enough to like flex and use them. So like, I'm knocking points for not having any challenge maps or like things you can like replay to keep using all the new stuff that you got in the game. Like, they did some really neat stuff. I don't want to spoil it, but like, there's powers that you get and abilities that you end up unlocking, but it's only like used like once or twice, and it's just like, oh, well, that's fine. So like, challenge maps being introduced would make the game perfect 10 out of 10 for me. But right now, no. But it's not bad. It's not a bad game. Mm-hmm. It's just like, once you beat it, you don't have it left. There's nothing you can do after the end game. Like, you can swing around.
There's no new game plus? Prime.
Not yet.
Oh, okay.
But it's the new game plus is coming. Okay. But like, again, once I do that and once I beat everything, again, I'll still have nothing to do. So hopefully they bring challenge mode or like something of like a challenge map. Like, you can just run around and beat up bad guys over the city. So.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, it's still like, I had to put them all together. It's like an 8 out of 10.
Oh, nice. So, that's still yeah. pretty good. That's still, you know.
Yeah, 5 and a 3 plus 2, 5. Yeah, the 8, fine.
You see Papito got 100% completion on that thing? Oh my god.
Yes.
That's like, that's amazing.
It's really not, the good thing is, it's not really difficult to do that. As long as you just play through the game properly, you're going to get 100% if you want to. Like, you don't have to do it, but it's also it's not difficult to do in any way. Most of the trophies are unlocked through doing stuff in the game, period. Like, you don't, and there's like a few trophies you have to like look at and make sure you're doing it, you know, done, but like, there's nothing really, you know. But it's still good to have. It's a really good trophy to have, so.
Okay. Awesome. Alright, so that was the bit of news that we had and also our reviews, we'll be right back when we'll go over the VGA nominees later. Hey guys, just want to give a quick shout out to Kitter Cat. She sells candles and wax melts. They are made of 100% all natural soy wax. It is a Black woman owned and operated business. You can buy her candles at terran-made.com. That's terran-made.com. You have until, I think, the day that the awards are coming on, which is December 7th, 2023. I believe that's a Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken. Nope, it is a Thursday. I was so wrong. Okay, Thursday, December 7th. Is when the award show comes on. You can watch it on YouTube, Twitch, I'm pretty sure anywhere where you can stream something. Okay. First category, the big one. Game of the Year. Me personally, don't yell at me, but I actually haven't played any of the games on the Game of the Year list. So, what I'm gonna do is I'm just gonna base this on my personal experience, and I'm just gonna vote for Spider-Man 2 because, I played the first one. I have no doubt that the second one is just as good, if not better. Right, Frank?
Yeah.
Go.
It's my game of the year, that's what I voted for.
Okay.
I'm gonna play Alan Wake though, so I'm probably would change my vote if you ask me in a week or two, because I gotta get Alan Wake
Once you
two.
oh okay, once you play it. That's fair. Next category is best game direction. So if you don't know, it's just for outstanding creative vision and innovation and game direction and design. I don't know. I feel like for creative vision and innovation, because the thing is, with all of these games are, none of these games are new, like, IPs. These are all either sequels or, like, using characters that we've known for, like, 50 years. So, it's like, who exactly is being innovative at this point? You know what I mean? I guess I'll vote for Legend of Zelda only because someone told me about some shit where, like, the airship is like it looks different, like how you get on the airship and some crap like that. Like, apparently it looks really gorgeous and it's not
All
like.
those memes from earlier in the year when people were just building stuff with Zelda is probably why it's gonna win Best Game Direction.
Got it. All right, I'm gonna just do that.
It's cool, it's just like they have it's so much. So.
Okay. Next category, which is best narrative, obviously for outstanding storytelling. And
Cyberpunk.
see, I was it's yeah. Yeah, 'cause you know what? With Spider-Man 2, it's like we know the Venom story. Not to say that it's bad. It's just that we know it already. You know what I mean? Like, we know with the attitude and all the other stuff because of the symbiote or whatever. So, yeah, I'm gonna go with Cyberpunk. Oh, also, if you want to see the nominees, you can see the nominees at thegameawards.com/nominees if you want to know what the games we're talking about are up against. Best art direction. For outstanding creative and/or technical achievement in artistic design and animation.
Hi-Fi Rush was my choice.
Yeah, I was gonna
It's
pick that
very good
too.
cell shading.
Yeah. Best score and music. For outstanding music, inclusive of score, original song, and/or licensed soundtrack. I'm gonna pick Hi-Fi Rush again because that game was about music.
I just got Dead Space on sale, so I'm excited to play that.
Nice. And it's nominated for Best Audio Design, which is our next category, which recognizes the best in-game audio and sound design. So, I mean, it makes more sense for me to pick Hi-Fi Rush because if you know the mechanics of the game, it's based on the sound design of the game. So, you're definitely gonna pick that. Let me know what the sound is like in Dead Space. I'm curious since it got voted for audio, excuse me, nominated for audio design.
All
Okay, next category is best performance. So this is awarded to an individual for voice over acting, motion, and or performance capture. Oh shit, I just spilled water
Oh,
on
no.
myself. Could be biased, and I guess pick Cameron Monaghan for Star Wars Jedi Survivor, or it could be a whole female and pick Idris Elba just because he's Idris Elba.
That's a good reason.
I don't know. Who'd you pick?
Melanie Lee Bird.
Oh, for Alan Wake 2.
Yep. Actually, no, I pick Moynihan because it's the only game that I played. But I feel like I should go back and change my vote to Melanie Lee-Burke because she's the only black woman on the panel. And I feel like I should have voted for her just because.
That's a good reason, too. You know what, though? I'm going to go with Cameron Monaghan.
He did a really good job.
Yeah, he did. Okay, innovation and accessibility, which recognizes software and or hardware that is pushing the medium forward by adding features, technology, and content to help games be played and enjoyed by an even wider audience. I'm actually going to pick Forza for this one because they have, like, a special controller for people that are, like, disabled or whatever, so they can drive just as well as anybody else with, like, a regular controller. So that's why I'm picking them. Next, Games for Impact. For a thought-provoking game with a pro-social meaning or message. Okay, funny that this came up because I downloaded a Space for the Unbound and I have it on my computer, but I have yet to play it. So I don't know what the actual message from that game is. But I did play Terra Nil, and that game is actually very pretty. And it's Terra Nil is about basically about the environment and how we should stop polluting. But the thing with Terra Nil is they get very specific on how we get certain creatures back. Like how certain, like if you build certain like beaches and if you end up creating swamps or ponds, how like things will start coming back. So that's why I'm going to vote for that. Because I didn't realize that, you know, we could get those things back. I'm sitting here thinking once you destroy something that it's over, you know. So that's why I'm going to vote for them. Alright, Best Ongoing, awarded to a game for outstanding development of ongoing content that evolves the player experience over time. I'm going to pick Cyberpunk 2077 because you want to talk about somebody that had a comeback because their initial release, listen, oh my god, they took that game out of the damn store. So, yeah, I have to go with them. Who'd you pick?
Cyberpunk, because I want to play the DLC, and they did a really good update to the entire game that made it much better.
Nice. Best community support, recognizing a game for outstanding community support, transparency, and responsiveness, inclusive of social media activity and game updates / patches. I gotta go with No Man's Sky.
They're still going strong.
I gotta go with No Man's Sky because this the same situation with Cyberpunk, but in their case, it wasn't like they had stuff and it just didn't work. They didn't have anything. Like the game was not good when it came out, but now it's just great. It's wonderful. What about you, Frank? Who'd you vote for?
Who did I vote for? I think I voted for Cyberpunk because the DLC was really good.
Oh, okay. I even though I'm voting for No Man's Sky, I do think that Final Fantasy 14 is gonna win only because they've been around for so long, and they probably made the best comeback out of everybody on the list. Best independent game for outstanding creative or technical achievement in a game made outside the traditional publisher system. So the only two games I played on this list were Dave the Diver and Sea of Stars. I did like Sea of Stars, but Dave the Diver was just... that pixelated game is just great. I don't know how to explain it, but everybody needs to at least try it once. It's just really
good. I've been looking forward to drop on the PlayStation.
It's good. It's like... I explain it. It's like everything combined into one. It's a action game. It's like a RPG kind of sort of. And then you got the restaurant portion of it. We sell sushi or fish. It's just you got everything. So So I'm gonna be biased and vote David Diver, obviously. Who'd you vote for, Frank?
Sea of Stars.
Okay.
Because I'm about to beat it. I think I voted for Dredge because it was totally different than like something I've ever played before. Because I'm a boat captain.
Oh, okay.
You gotta update the boat. It's fun though. I enjoyed it. I want Dave the Diver.
Next is best debut indie game for the best debut game created by a new independent studio. I don't know.
I picked Dredge because I have it, and it's actually really cool.
Really?
It's about existential horror. Yeah, it's pretty good.
Okay. I think I'm going to go with Vemba because I saw that. I remember when that premiered in the Wholesome Games. What do you call it? What do you call it? The showcase during the summer. And it looked really cool, and I wanted to try it. So I'm going to just go for Vemba. Next, best mobile game for best game playable on a mobile device. I didn't know Terra Nil was a mobile game, too. I played it on my computer.
Oh, see, there you go.
Who'd you vote for?
I don't remember.
Oh, that's fine.
I think I just picked, like, Terra Nil because it wasn't normal. Mm. I want this one to win.
Okay. I think Final Fantasy is going to win, though.
Probably.
Next is best VR/AR for the best game experience playable in virtual or augmented reality, irrespective of platform. I think Resident Evil is gonna win.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna go with Gran Turismo 7 only because I feel like I would be geeked out if I had a VR headset and I was in a goddamn Ferrari going 120 miles per hour. I think I would enjoy that a lot.
Just meow. Meow.
Best action game. For the best game in the action genre focused primarily on combat. Only game I played on this list was Hi-Fi Rush.
Is that what you voted for?
Just because of that reason. I haven't played any of these other games. I never played Dead Island or Hi-Fi Rush. Ghost Runner. or Remnant. Have you ever played any of the other games?
No. I haven't played any of those games.
Okay, well, that's where my vote's going. Alright. Best Action Adventure. For the best action-adventure game combining combat with traversal and puzzle-solving. I already know you voted for Spider-Man, so I'm not even going to ask you.
I didn't vote for Spider-Man.
You didn't. Who'd you vote for?
No. Voted for Star Wars Jedi Survivor.
Oh, nice.
Because it's a better action-adventure game than Spider-Man.
Wow.
I love Spider-Man to death. It's a very good game. It's just, for this category, Jedi Survivor is the epitome of action-adventure. You got puzzles, you got climbing and all kinds of shit, exploring multiple planets.
Mm-hmm.
Much better for this category.
I didn't expect you to say that. I'm in shock. since they included puzzles, I'm going to go with Legend of Zelda. Oh. Best RPG. Ooh, this is my category, and I only play Sea of Stars. For the best game designed with rich player character customization and progression, including massively multiplayer experiences. I still haven't tried Starfield, have you?
Nope.
Did you play anything else on the list besides Sea of Stars?
Nope. I don't like Souls games. I wasn't going to play Final Fantasy. But Baldur's Gate is going to be for my future.
Got it. Alright, well, see you started this. next, best fighting for the best game designed primarily around head-to-head combat. I'm going to shake things up, and I'm going to vote for Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl 2. That's what I'm going to do.
It's not a bad choice.
Who'd you vote for?
Street Fighter.
Okay. I gotta pick it. Alright, best family game. For the best game appropriate for family play, irrespective of genre or platform. And I gotta go with Party Animals. I never played it, but it just looks so funny. Like, I watched the trailer and I've always wanted to try it, but it just looks so funny. I would have voted for Pikmin if Party Animals was not in this category. I would have voted for Pikmin just for nostalgia's sake, because I had the first one on my GameCube. But, yeah, I just gotta go with Party Animals, because that, oh my god, it looks so funny. It's basically like an animal version of Gang Beasts. If anybody ever played Gang Beasts, it's like that, but with animals. And it's just funny. It looks so funny.
I voted for Mario. I didn't play any of those games, though.
Oh, okay. Next
category. This is a category coming up. Is Boots' number one category.
It is best sim/strategy. Best game focused on real-time or turn-based simulation or strategy gameplay, irrespective of the platform. All right, here's the thing. Normally, I would vote for something like Cities Skylines, and I love Paradox Interactive. But I recently tried the first one the other day, and I just couldn't. It wasn't for me. And I love Paradox Interactive. I love every game that they have, but I just could not get with City Skylines. I just couldn't do it. I've never played Company of Heroes. I haven't played a Fire Emblem game in like 10 years. So I'm gonna go with Pikmin, just because I couldn't vote for the last category. I'm just gonna go with Pikmin. I'm sorry.
Yeah, Pikmin.
Okay, not really a sports person, but I'm going to be biased because I loved Forza, so I'm going to pick Forza. Category is best sports/racing game.
I think it's the same thing, because this is a really weak category this year.
Yeah, because there's like four racing games and then one soccer game. What the
Yeah.
Best multiplayer for outstanding online multiplayer gameplay and design, including co-op and massively multiplayer experiences, irrespective of game genre or platform. You voted for Street Fighter, Frank?
I did.
I'm torn between Diablo and Party Animals.
Don't vote for Diablo. That shit is ass.
But I liked it.
It was a good game, but consider how many problems we had. That shit does not get a vote for outstanding multiplayer.
I guess.
That shit was not outstanding. It was good at best. And that was when it worked.
I'm gonna go with Party Animals then. I love this category. Best adaptation. Recognizing outstanding creative work that faithfully and authentically adapts a video game to another entertainment medium. And I'm so mad that is not in this category, because I thought Dragon Age was great. The show, Dragon Age Absolution. I didn't finish it. I watched the first three episodes because I wanted to savor the last three from when I was in the mood. But the three episodes I saw were outstanding. It was amazing. So I'm gonna go with. Damn, because I saw The Last of Us and I really enjoyed that. I saw the original Castlevania, which was great. So I don't know why that didn't get nominated as opposed to this.
Because Nocturne's new.
Yeah. I can't decide. Because Castlevania was so good too. Alright, that'll be obvious. I'm gonna pick The Last of Us. What'd you pick, Frank?
Twisted Metal.
Okay. Did you like it? Was it good?
Yeah, so I've played every Twisted Metal game that's come out, and what I didn't realize and didn't pick up on until it was very late in the series, that the entire first season of Twisted Metal is playing through the beginning of everybody's story in the game, and then at the very end of the series, like for the season, you get all the character reveals, like at the last two episodes, you get all the character reveals you didn't realize were there. And it's one of the coolest fucking slow builds that I've seen, and it keeps it as true as it, like, barring the fact that it's a video game and there's technology in the video game that's not in real life, they did a really good job of adapting it to a TV show. So,
Oh,
yeah.
okay. Nice. Awesome. Next category is most anticipated game,
82.
recognizing an announced game that has demonstrably illustrated potential to push the gaming medium forward. I am picking Star Wars Outlaws because I remember when I saw that trailer and I thought it was great and I was like, I need that.
Hades 2. And I do want to play Star Wars Outlaws, but I'm more excited for Hades 2 because I don't need I don't if it's a Star Wars game, I need force powers. I don't care about blasters, I don't care about shooting shit. I need laser swords and magic force powers. That's what I need. I can shoot anywhere else in the galaxy. I need laser swords. Give me that.
That's very true. You have a point. I'm gonna skip Content Creator of the Year because I don't know these people very well, but good luck to everybody.
I'm not giving good luck to everybody because ain't no people of color in the list.
That's a very good point.
They got a whole VTuber, and I respect the VTuber business, but like, no. Period. You should have best VTuber as a separate category, because that's disrespectful to content creators who have to put their whole face out there. My opinion. Don't judge me. Best esports game. Ooh.
I had picked League of Legends because my homie is and was a part of an esports team years ago. And he didn't win, but him and his team won 5 grand, so thought that was always cool. I'm skipping best esports athlete because
They all suck and they can't beat the Bussin Clan.
also I've never seen them personally play, but good luck to all the minorities in this category. I'm also skipping best esports team for the same reason.
Same reason.
Esports coach, same reason.
Same reason.
Oh wait, there's a woman. Oh my God, she's getting my vote.
You know what's funny? I did the same thing. I voted for her just because she's a woman. That's the only reason why.
Esports event.
Evo. Evo
Yeah,
always my vote every year.
I
Doesn't
was.
change. It's the best fighting game tournament in the world. Everything else is just eh.
I think that's it. Did I
That
miss
is
any?
it.
Okay,
You did.
yes. So those are the VGA nominees and who we decided that we're gonna vote for. If you want to see who the nominees are, please go to thegameawards.com, and then you can click nominees right at the top. It's the second option. Also, please don't event. Excuse me. Please don't forget that the Game Awards is going to premiere December 7th in Los Angeles. It's on a Thursday. What time is it premiering? I think it's at 7:30. It's 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Depending on where you are in the world, make those adjustments. It's a Thursday. I'm sure you'll live. I'm gonna try to make it home on time so I can watch it. And yeah, that's it for me. I mean, I don't have anything else. Lately, I've been playing. Well, I already reviewed like Immortals of Avium. And I've been playing Sims 4 a lot. I'm not gonna talk about the new expansion pack that's gonna come out in a couple of weeks because it's basically the Sims 4 capitalism. And a lot of people are upset because who wants to be a landlord as a why would you decide to make being a landlord an expansion pack? Like, why would you do
Exactly.
that? I mean, I watched the here's the thing. I watched the trailer because they released another trailer and then they showed the better side of it where you can actually vote if somebody sucks as a landlord or not, and like you can make adjustments and things like that, you can provide nice homes. Fine, that's the nice side of it or whatever. But I freaked out when I saw the mold zombies. I don't want no parts of that. Even though I know for a fact because of how I get my Sims games, it's gonna automatically download to my computer and might end up seeing them anyway. And listen, I'll let y'all know. Just yeah. But have you been playing anything lately, Frank?
I just beat Cyberpunk today.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so now I'm excited for Phantom Liberty because I beat Vanilla Cyberpunk, which means I got to go back and get the DLC to get the rest of the story. Turns out the reason I voted Cyberpunk also without saying it is they I found out that they changed the ending of the game because of the DLC. You now have more than like the original stock, like I think three endings that were available or two or three endings that were available. Mm-hmm. They added a bunch of new options and I'm very excited about that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, all right. But I'm not going to touch it until I at least beat two more games out of my library.
That's fair. So,
yeah.
All right. Well, that's it for me. Don't forget, you know, watch the Game Awards December 7th, 7:30. It's a Thursday. We should be releasing this, well, I'll be releasing this, I think on Monday, I think. So we're recording this on this, wait, no, tomorrow's Monday. Yes, tomorrow's Monday. Don't forget to listen to us. Don't forget to vote for us 5 stars on Spotify. If you listen to us on Spotify, you know, reach out to either me or Frank if you got any questions, if you want to know the nominees, if you want to know where to get the nominees. And yeah, also don't forget to vote yourself. You may have a completely different opinion than me and Frank, and that's just fine, but don't forget to vote. And yeah, that's it. We'll see you guys later.
Bye. I'll tell you no matter.